ball spark.
You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Wednesday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Talk a little about the Major League Baseball playoffs. The ALCS is set. The Braves still waiting on a winner between the Dodgers and the Giants. Hit some college football, the Big 12 title race. We kind of hit on it just a little bit yesterday. Talk more about that today. Game down in Austin is a huge game between Oklahoma State and Texas this week. I want you to rank the conferences, Jared. I want you to rank the conferences, your top five conferences, how they rank. Will we really get right now, and even in the, before the season started, we talked about how the playoff was becoming stale. Same old teams every single year. Right now, it kind of looks like maybe that won't be the case. With the Ohio State loss, with the Alabama loss, you could see where maybe there's some new blood in there. Will that really be what we see after conference championship Saturday when the playoff is really announced? Man, the weather was wild last night. We'll talk about that. Kyrie Irving told by his teammates and the team, stay away until you get the vaccine. So now what's he going to do? Ben Simmons, back-ish with the Sixers, showed up, had a meeting. We'll see what's going on there. And then a quick look ahead to tomorrow night's high school football. All of that on the docket for today. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line, 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things. Whatever else might be on your mind, feel free to chime in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, a couple ways to stay in touch with the show. One of those is to log on to KADSAM.com. The other, download the Paragon Communications app. The app has all radio stations here with KADS, Cool 94, KECO. The Penny News is in the app. The brand new edition of the Penny News hit the website last night at midnight. Check out the new deals in this week's Penny News, thepennynews.com. Saw Randy rolling out about 10 minutes ago to go pick up the print edition, so it'll start filtering out this afternoon. Earlier than normal, I would say. By a couple hours.
You can say it. I'm not going to say it.
just
you can say that.
Something I noticed.
Okay.
Penny News wagon's heading out of here about 8:30 instead of 10:30.
You can say
11.
That.
Anyhow.
I don't take notes of that little thing.
So you'll be able to pick up a free copy of the Penny News coming up this afternoon and into tomorrow everywhere. Skinny on Sports Podcast, if you missed the show, you can find it on KADSAM.com or iTunes. Find us on iTunes, subscribe, and then you will be alerted when a new podcast drops. Well, Jared, there was a point last night where I thought your house was kind of in the bullseye of said tornado warning, kind of the first one of the night. And then, like normally does, those storms start shifting, kind of wobbling back and forth, sometimes northeast, sometimes dead east, sometimes northeast, sometimes dead east. And by the time it was all said and done, maybe what did you get over there?
We got a lot of rain, and I would say pea-sized hail. I didn't measure it, but it got a little hairy there. Got a little hairy. We went underground.
Yeah,
and we might have suffered a huge loss.
Oh no!
Apparently, I didn't protect my outdoor TV enough.
Oh no!
It got a little wet. But afterwards, Allie was like, oh, it's fine, look. And she turned it on. It came on. And I was just waiting for it to go, you know, pop and smoke and stuff. Nothing happened. It just, you know, we had a lot of sideways rain, obviously, because that wind and rain. But, and I went out there this morning, and it appeared to still be getting power. Because you could see a little light on the bottom. So I am ordering a TV cover as we speak. But no, seriously, everything was fine. It thankfully missed us. It appeared to us, because at one point it looked like it was going, you said it looked like it was coming straight for Canute, and then it looked like it was going straight towards Burns Flat, and then it kind of split the two communities and then appeared to have died down, and then all of a sudden you hear, what's going on in Clinton? And they suffered some damage. But again, thankfully, I haven't heard of one injury. Thank God, no fatalities, nothing like that. Stuff can be rebuilt. So we went underground and waited it out. And then when we got out of there, there's a lot of water on the ground. And this morning, there's a lot of water on the ground because of round two that came through at, 2, 3 a.m. in the morning?
Yeah, it was about...
I hadn't even checked rain totals.
It was 2-something when I heard my phone buzzing.
I slept lightly because...
It started with severe thunderstorm warnings, and then... That was kind of when it felt like the storms were still out in the panhandle of Texas and making its way across the state line. And by the time they actually got here, it felt like those were more just heavy thunderstorms through this area. But then they ramped back up as they moved down I-40. And by the time, 5 a.m., 5:30 a.m., they got into the Oklahoma City area. There's tornado damage in Mustang in different spots. So
I just kind of would die down and recycle up. Apparently, there's that tornado that they're really focusing on down south Frederick Way, Manitou, that area. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden you start hearing, whoa, we got power flashes in Clinton. And then you could see that tornado, every time the lightning was quicker. And I'm like, whoa, that's a thing right there.
I actually changed the channel because, as that storm was moving – toward Burns Flat, you could sense the excitement in Payne's voice.
That's when
honestly, in a span of probably 30 minutes, Canute, where you live, went from like ground zero to barely pea-sized hail.
Right.
And it was amazing how it shifted. That's when it started shifting east. And a lot of times when those storms do shift east or turn right, that's when the tornadoes really happen.
Right.
And it never did materialize. And then one of the first times I've ever actually heard this conversation on the air, when Payne was like, the velocities are coming down, everything's coming down. It's moving into a way less stable or a more stable environment. He didn't quite get there, but he basically said, all right, the show is over. Tornado, he said it down to low. And so I kind of turned the channel. I turned the channel. And then all of a sudden my phone went off with the tornado warning in Clinton. Well, here was the problem with that. The thing had already hit.
Yeah.
That's how fast it ramped back up. I'm not going to say they got caught with their guard down, but I think it was one of those things, and it's just the reason why these things are so unpredictable is because everything meteorological said, the threat for the tornadoes was kind of done.
And with the way that the
environment it was going into.
Right.
And that's not what happened.
No.
And I had some buddies that were just kind of hanging out watching the lightning show out at the airport at Clinton.
That's not
which turned
that
around
turned
not the
that,
right spot.
Yeah, turned out that was ground zero.
Yeah.
They're okay, right?
They're okay.
All right.
They put their seatbelts on in the truck.
I immediately
not sure what that was going to do.
You mentioned his name, and I almost texted like, where was he at right now? I just had something told me, where's that guy at? I almost texted you. Like, where does he live? I don't know where he lives. But I know where his parents live, and I knew it was kind of on the east side of town. And I almost thought, man, is Elk City and Clinton both going to be looking for a new clubhouse? I was like, oh, my goodness.
Hey, there you go. That's who I'm talking about. Yeah, he was at the airport, him and a couple other guys.
Yeah.
Craziness was about. And I texted him and said, hey, how's it going? Everything okay? And he immediately called me. As they were, it wasn't enough for that trio of folks. They took off north up Airport Road to just kind of follow what was happening. And then every now and then you could hear in the background when it was lightning. Oh, it's still there. It's still, you know, that yeah. you could see
yeah.
kind of what we were watching on TV was what was
multiple
unfolding
vortex.
Right in front of them. Yeah.
Yeah. You heard a vault.
So
yeah.
it was pretty wild and hairy there at the Clinton Airport. And yeah. then if you haven't seen the photos, I think News 9 is where I saw it. I think it's where you saw it as well. Tweeted out photos of the damage. One of the hangars, somebody's hangar got destroyed there at the airport of Clinton. And had a couple planes, a couple old cars, and a Texas Longhorn flag that ironically was flying upside down. So the week continues bad for Longhorn fans. It was
perfectly intact, too. You didn't see one thread pulled from that flag. I mean, good job, Texas. You can produce a mediocre football program and fantastic flags that survive Oklahoma tornadoes. Yeah. Too bad your football team can't survive Oklahoma.
Yeah, the comeback.
That guy was, you know, he lost, what, two planes and a couple of classic yeah. cars. But kudos to him because he had a good sense of humor about it because he was like, well, my flag's still there. He kind of
had an American flag and a Texas
yeah,
Longhorn
was,
flag
was,
that
you know,
survived.
It's they're just things, man. I mean, they'll, yeah, but... we can laugh about it because thankfully nobody mm-hmm. got hurt. Hadn't heard of any homes that were lost. I haven't heard anything like that.
I saw some home damage in the Mustang area.
Right. I meant more like out of that tornado, locally. Yeah. I haven't heard of anything. It almost in a weird way just kind of weaved around where homes would be. That as far as if there was any kind of damage to be had. And I know there's a lot of homes where west of the airport, the Clinton Sherman Airport, you know, between Burns Flat and Canute. And I know of people who live in there and hadn't heard of any major damage to
right.
homes, which is a blessing, real blessing. Thank you to everybody who texted us last night. Our phones were blowing up. Like,
oh,
are
yeah.
you guys watching this? What do you got? Are you guys paid? Where are you guys? I really appreciate, you know, my wife's phone blowing up. And then when we go underneath the ground, our cell service goes nowhere. I mean, it is gone.
Yeah.
So I'm sure some people were... They're not responding. They're not responding.
Yeah, see, I had text Will because I knew that they were in a cellar.
Yeah.
Just like, hey, don't freak out. Everything's you're good.
Right.
I mean, there's hail coming, but you're the tornado part. It's
we
it's
had the
Burns Flat area.
Yeah, we have a radio down there.
That's what he said. He's listening to the radio
and listening to what Nathan, our guy here, was putting stuff on. So. We were in touch, just didn't have cell service. But
wild night. Yep. Wild, I mean, I feel like we should be just about to start talking about, you know, like high school golf or.
Well, it's reverse spring, right?
Yeah, I
it's kind of turned into that.
It's October.
When
I mean, think about this. A year ago, October, just about 2 weeks from now, there was an ice storm with leaves still on the trees. Remember that?
Yes, yes.
How crazy the damage was from that ice storm before it actually froze. And so that made, you know.
If I'm not mistaken, do you remember the Cordell tornado?
Which one?
Well, there's.
I feel like there's multiple.
There was
of those.
One that did some damage right through town, I believe was in the month of October.
Yeah, I heard them saying they kept on. Talking about 2007, I think.
Yeah, it was earlier.
The last,
I was still in high school.
Well, no, they weren't talking about Cordell. They were talking about the last time the setup was was like it was last night in October in Oklahoma. Anyway.
It happens.
Yeah.
It happens.
Well, listen, I mean, December, there are tornadoes in every month in this state.
Sure.
Just depending on what happens. So, yeah, thankfully, as it sounds, at least so far, everybody's...
Everything's okay.
Everything's okay.
Yep.
So... let's see. Man, right after we got off the air yesterday, the news broke about Kyrie Irving. And so, if you haven't been following this, or just to rehash it a little bit, there's three different organizations right now, as it currently stands, where the state or the city that they're in is requiring a vaccine in order for citizens to play there. And it's in New York with the Knicks and the Nets, and it's also out in San Francisco with the Golden State Warriors. And the kind of weird thing about it is visiting teams can play. Unvaccinated players can play. They just have to show a negative test before they enter the building. And this is to even enter the building. You have to have your vaccine. So Kyrie Irving, no. He's refusing to do it. And so there's been kind of up in limbo. What are they going to do? What are the Nets going to do? He's going to be a half-season player. Can only play road games. He can't play home games. Well, so yesterday the organization met with a couple players. I know Harden and Durant were both there in that meeting. And they came out and said, no, you cannot play for us. We're not going to have a halfway part-time player. And so now the onus is on either Kyrie Irving to come off of his stance and get the vaccine to play, or now how much does this force the Nets to search for a trade?
Newsflash. He already was a part-time player. This is nothing new. This is nothing new with Kyrie. How come no one's talking about that? He did this last year where he took time away from the team, claimed it was personal matters. Here's the real deal. He doesn't want to play a full season. He's implementing his own rest time.
Yeah, but he can't. But here's his problem. He can't play in the playoffs at home.
I know this. I think he's lazy. I think he thinks he's smarter than everybody else. And I think he's found a loophole again to not have to put himself out there every game and play. But now it's biting him in the backside. Now, why is everyone shocked that this was coming from Kyrie Irving? I'm not.
Well, it comes. The not play every game is literally everybody in the league except for Russell Westbrook and LeBron James. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's
I know.
Everyone comes up with ways to what's the phrase? Load management.
Load management. Yes, it was made popular help me out.
Kawhi.
Thank you.
Kawhi Leonard.
It was made popular and it was made really popular when they went and won a title.
Yeah, he played 60 games.
Yeah. But as far as getting traded, do you think anybody wants him?
Well, yeah.
Think the asking price is too high?
Because he can play everywhere but the Knicks and the Warriors.
But will he?
That's the problem. How much does basketball really mean to him? Because you mentioned him thinking he's smarter than everybody else. And he came out and said, in response to this happening, that this has nothing to do with being anti-vaccinations. It has everything to do with people not having their own choices. And he wants to take a stand. Which, listen, it's admirable, and I love it.
Well, I'm all about free will. Absolutely.
We're starting to see a lot of people, the Southwest pilots kind of are doing this a little bit. Andrew Wiggins started out doing it, and, he was all tough and talking about how it didn't bother him to miss a game check and miss checks and all that. And then he went ahead and got the vaccine.
And then he missed,
so that he could play.
Almost missed a check.
We're
about to talk about a guy who almost missed a check.
Almost missed a check, and boom, there he is. Never mind. You know what? My religious beliefs aren't as strong as what I thought they were. I guess I'll go ahead and get the vaccine so I can, make money. I don't know that Kyrie's going to do that because I don't know how much playing professional basketball means to him.
Exactly.
And so, would it be, in your mind, would it be even the least bit shocking if he just retires because of this?
No.
I don't think so either.
I don't think so either.
It's really interesting. Now,
can he go sailing and look for the edge of the earth after that?
You can find the end since it's flat.
Yeah.
Can Brooklyn win a title without him?
Yes.
I think so too.
I do too. They don't need him.
I think that's a big part of why they made this decision. Other than their hands were tied. I mean, it's not like the Nets organization is going to go to the mayor of New York and change laws or change rules. That's not going to happen. I did see that they were trying to figure out a way to annex the their practice facility outside of New York City so that he could practice with them, and that didn't work.
They're going to rent a
naval ship. Like in New Jersey or something. Just outside.
Go back and be the New Jersey Nets.
The first thought was, if we can annex our practice facility outside the mandated area, that didn't work. And then it was, okay, let's look for – and then finally said, he's not worth the time, I guess. He's not worth the effort.
How telling is it, like you said, that Durant and Harden were a part of this meeting, a part of this think tank that came up and said, "No, we don't. You can't come." How telling is that? Because I thought it was Durant and Irving getting together, saying, "Let's go to Brooklyn, let's do it there, buddy buddies, whatever." And now suddenly, your buddy that you teamed up with says you can't come.
Well.
Or was a part of that decision in some form.
GM Sean Marks and the owner Joe Tsai are adamant that they are the ones that made the decision. Mm. Ultimately made the decision.
Because that's how it's ran in the NBA, not the players.
Yeah, Durant and Harden were consulted. Everyone in the organization was aware of it, but ultimately it was Marks and Joe Tsai that were the ones that made that decision and came down to what they felt was the right move for the organization at this time. Now, Ben Simmons, another guy you just referenced, he's been away all summer long after what happened last year in the playoffs where, I mean, he was just getting roasted in Philly for his play. Part of it rightfully so. Some others, you know, there is different parts of the game than just shooting the basketball, even though people don't think that anymore with this stage of the NBA's evolution. There is other parts of the game than just shooting. And he excels at every single one of those. But the problem is he can't shoot. And it looks like he doesn't do a whole bunch to make himself a better shooter during this time in the offseason. And that's why people get frustrated with him. Well, he shows up yesterday, basically unannounced, because it was like they didn't know he was coming, and he showed up for his COVID test. And they're like, "Hey, wow, there's Ben." Well, he meets with Maury, and he meets with Elton Brand, some of the guys, and we'll see how this transpires. But does it not make sense for both teams just to make that trade? Doesn't Kyrie feel like exactly the type of guy that Philly needs, and Ben Simmons is exactly the type of guy that the Nets need? Get the ball in one guy's hands in one place and take the ball out of one of the people's hands in another? Does it make too much sense?
I think it totally makes sense. But I guess what I was hearing yesterday on these airwaves that Philly really thinks they can go and get someone like Dame Lillard, or who was the other person they named?
Bradley Beal.
Listen, that's not a swap that anyone's going to make, right? So they're holding out for that.
Yeah, and you know who they could have had last year for Ben Simmons and they turned it down?
Who's that?
James Harden.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Before all this really flared up.
When Harden got traded at the first of last season, they turned down a Harden for Simmons trade. Eventually, if they don't watch it, eventually they're going to end up getting nothing.
Yeah.
Because right now, the problem with Ben Simmons is you feel like the more he plays, the less value he's going to show.
Yeah.
Because of his mental block with shooting the basketball. I mean, last year, everyone remembers the play where he drove down the baseline, had a dunk in the biggest game of the year, and literally an uncontested dunk, and passed it. Wouldn't even dunk it.
Right.
Not take a free throw or not take a three or not take a jump shot. He wouldn't jump up and dunk it. He was so scared of missing. That's not a good sign.
No. No, you know, and Barry Trammell loves him.
I love Ben Simmons, too.
And he made a good point about, you know, sometimes situations aren't right. Sometimes organizations are just not a good fit. And in this case, it might not be a good fit mentally that, you know, find him a place where he can just push the reset button. People can use him in the best situation and then the shooting could come later. But I mean, that's what he needs, is just to find another location. But
or he could go play with the Nets and not have to shoot.
Yeah, that too.
And just be great at everything that he's great at, which is basically everything but shooting.
But I go back to it. Okay, yes, it looks like a perfect trade for both teams, Kyrie for Simmons. But what's the holdup? Is it because the Philly thinks that they can get those other guys, or is it we don't want Kyrie on this team?
Oh, probably a little bit of both.
You know, you handcuff us when we go to California and New York. Wins we might need.
No. He can play.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, he can play.
Yeah.
Because he's not a citizen.
Yeah, that's right. But, you know, will he? Will a personal matter come up? Will
Well, can you imagine?
Something else come up.
Actually, this guy seems a little bit more stable than he did maybe a year and a half ago. But there was a point where could you imagine Kyrie and Embiid together? Oh, my Lord.
Ooh.
But Embiid does seem like, I mean, whose stock has grown off the floor more than Embiid in the Simmons saga? He sounds like the sane one.
Yeah.
You know, like the grown-up,
he sounds
sane
more
guy.
Down the earth.
Yeah, he does. It's maybe he's grown up a little
maybe
bit.
He has.
Crazy. So Kyrie.
Crazy. We're talking about these guys and their mental state, and we're not even talking about the product on the floor.
Nah, nobody cares yet.
Nobody cares.
Outside of, listen, I love my buddy Jim, but I guarantee you at 2 o'clock at some point in his show, the Lakers losing last night will come up and how Russ and LeBron can't play together.
Oh, dear.
It is Wednesday, but we need to look at to tomorrow night because a lot of the games, if not all of the games across the state in high school football, will be played tomorrow, fall break week, for most everybody in the state. Just kind of talking about the 4A1 schedule. Weatherford coming over here to Elk City tomorrow night to face the Elks. It's 5-1 Elk City against 3-3 Weatherford, but that 3-3 for the Eagles all came in the non-district. They're still yet to scratch in the district play. 0-3 with losses to Chickasha, to Elgin, and to Newcastle. The Elks have beat Elgin and Chickasha and then lost to Bethany on the road for their only loss this season. Elsewhere, it's Clinton and Elgin, the Red Tornadoes, back at home for the second straight week. And you've also got Bethany hosting Newcastle, and then Chickasha will host Cash. We'll talk a bunch about the Elk City-Weatherford game tomorrow. So let's kind of look around at the other games. To me, just with results so far and records, that Bethany-Newcastle game seems to be the game of the week in the district. We'll see where Newcastle sits. Can they jump up and bite one of those top two teams so far with the undefeated records in Bethany? They get a chance at Bethany, Clinton being the other undefeated.
Yeah, the other ones look like, I mean, they look like what they're going to be, what they're going to be on paper. But that one right there. Now, where's it at?
It's at Bethany.
Well, that's nothing. That's not a drive for Newcastle or anything. But, yeah, that'll shake things out. It looks like Bethany is starting to roll a little bit. And Newcastle, still Newcastle. They put up a 40 spot on Weatherford. What did they do last week? They blew out.
Oh, Weatherford,
I'm sorry.
Last
yeah,
week,
yeah. It throws me when they play a Thursday night, not a Friday. But yeah, that one looks like the most competitive game of the week. That could set up, you know, Bethany wins, could set up Clinton-Bethany towards the end of the year, which I do think they play week 10.
Yes, at Clinton.
But if Newcastle were to win that one, then, yeah, that changes things, and Clinton already has that win over Newcastle.
Yeah, I mean, that would be the wild tiebreaker scenario.
Yes.
Like, if Newcastle beats Bethany, that gives the Broncos a loss. And then, you know, later down the line, if the Elks were able to upset Clinton, let's say, that gives everybody one loss. And then that Bethany-Clinton game turns into a three-way tie as opposed to the game for the district.
Right.
You know,
right.
which at this point feels like that's where we're headed. Week 10, one wins the district and one doesn't. At the Tornado Bowl. That's where it feels like we're headed.
It's feeling like that.
But we'll see with this game coming up.
Still games to be played.
Yeah, no doubt. And this is one of those that could be a potential kind of stumbling block toward that collision course at the end of the year between Bethany and Clinton. Cash Chickasha is interesting for one reason to me. If Cash can't go to Chickasha and win, that may, you know, I've been the one kind of tooting their horn saying, wait a minute. They're 0-3. But you reel off four straight, the schedule seems favorable to have a chance to do that with a game at Chickasha, hosting Elk City next week, then you're at Elgin, then you host Weatherford. Could they be the team that comes out of nowhere? Just the reason why they're 0-3 because they played the best three teams in the district so far. They have to win tomorrow night in order for that to be the case, because I don't see them coming back from 0-4 in the district to have a say in that fourth spot, because I think you're going to have a winning record. You're going to have to win four district games in order to be there for number four.
Does let's say Cash loses, does that take – what does that do as far as Elk City versus Cash? I mean, you see what I'm saying?
It's not a must win.
Not as must win. You're right.
It's not a must win because at that point, you know, unless it ends up being a huge tie at 3-4, which I just don't see that happening. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And if everybody loses, I guess the scenario there would be everybody loses to Clinton, Bethany, Newcastle, outside of themselves, you know, the bottom five, and then they kind of beat each other to make it a 3-4 tie at fourth. That's where that would matter. I don't think that's going to be the case, though. I just don't. I think it's going to take four wins in order to qualify for the playoffs.
Agreed.
You know, I think what you're going to see is you're going to see an undefeated. I think you're going to see a one loss. I think you're going to see a two loss, and I think you're going to see a three loss.
Pretty cut and dry.
Yeah, I really do. I think 7-0, 6-1, 5-2, 4-3 is the way it's going to shake out. Now, who's going to be in those spots, I don't know. But I think that's how it's going to go. So, in my mind, for cash, this is a must win to be able to get to that 4-3 mark.
Yeah.
Tomorrow night at Chickasha. Let's see. In District A1, you got the Merritt Oilers back at home tomorrow night. Their district race for that final spot is going to be super interesting as well. Because instead of having two teams at the top, A1's got three. Fairview, Hooker, and Moreland are clearly a cut above everybody else, right? They're all 3-0. Everyone else has a losing record in the district.
And they've yet to play each other.
That's right.
They're all undefeated.
They're all
– on top of just being 3-0 in the district, they are all undefeated.
And they've all kind of been – feasting on the teams below them.
Yeah.
So far, the way the district schedule has worked out. When you look ahead, you've got, for Hooker, Moreland, Fairview are the last two games. You know what I'm saying? They all kind of just the way that shakes out. So, for Merritt anyway, and Sayre and Burns Flat as well, you got Merritt, Texoma, and Burns Flat all tied at 1-2. Merritt has the loss to Texoma. Yet to play both Thomas or Fairview.
Man, that one-point loss.
Or Burns Flat.
Man, if they could have pulled that one out.
If that's a 7-6 win instead of a 7-6 loss, I think it would be awful hard for anybody to catch them. Because then you're talking about tiebreaker over Texoma. If they can beat – to me, the game against Burns Flat at the end of the season, Merritt Burns Flat, could be everything.
Yeah.
Or it could create a huge three-way tie because Texoma lost to Burns Flat. Texoma beat Merritt. Now, if Merritt beats Burns Flat, they all beat each other, and they'll all end up with the same record, right?
Yeah.
If they all beat Sayre, they all beat Thomas, and then they beat each other, that's that 3-4 scenario that we were just talking about we don't think is going to happen at 4A1.
What if they are out of the playoffs by – Why? How did 7-6 happen? Missed extra point, I'm assuming?
I didn't even go back and watch. I'd assume.
What if?
Or went for two and didn't get it.
What if? That's a 1 point. You missed the playoffs by 1 point.
The one thing in Merritt's advantage is 7-6.
Right, yeah, well.
Because when you look, they're currently fourth because the district points, they're -1.
That's correct.
So they won by 15 against Sayre, lost by more than 15 against Hooker, but then that 1 point loss. So at the end of the day, even though it's a loss, may end up being a win, may end up being the reason why they could qualify for the playoffs. And quite frankly, even in losses, if you're Texoma or Burns Flat or Merritt, even in losses to say Moreland or Hooker or Fairview, if you can keep it inside that 15, that could matter too. Just Moreland, 22-14 win over Texoma. They kept it in there. You know what I'm saying? They kept it close enough to not give up the full 15 in the district points. That's going to matter, I think, at the end of the season in A1, especially if Merritt can end up knocking off Burns Flat at the end, because then it's just going to be – that's what it's going to come down to is those points. If not, Burns Flat has the advantage – with a win over Merritt and a win over Texoma, then they, you know, that's where they're going to be able to kind of forge ahead and end up in that fourth spot. beating those two teams. And then if you, you know, wins over Sayre and Thomas, which so far everybody's getting within the district.
It appears they went for two.
Okay.
Very late in the game.
Yeah.
They're going for the win.
You go for the win.
On the road, that's not a bad call.
No, that's what you always say. Tie at home, go for the road.
Exactly.
Go for the win on the road.
Go for the win on the road.
So it's going to be a lot of fun. You know, it's just starting to kind of separate. We talked about this in our broadcast last Friday night, where through three games of the seven in the district schedule, you can start seeing a little bit of separation, but you're still not sure in the middle, right? Kind of, especially in these two, you know the top, and you kind of know the bottom, but where's the middle shake out? And I think this week, next week, especially in 4A1 for Elk City, these next 2 weeks will really tell the tale of where it's going to end up. You got to take care of your business tomorrow night against a team that hasn't won a district game yet, and then you've got cash on the road. And how big that game will be in the grand scheme of things will be told tomorrow night at Chickasha. Because if the Chicks can bounce back from the loss to Elk City, then they're right there and almost put a death knell into Cash's hopes. The Elks can't take care of business tomorrow night against Weatherford. A lot of what we just said doesn't matter, because then you're going to put yourself in situations that you can really avoid a lot more stress coming down the stretch by taking care of business against the Eagles tomorrow. And you know good and well that's going to be a hard game to win because of the way Weatherford's season started out. You know, we talk about hungry to get a win, hungry to, you know, keep that win streak against Elk City intact all the way back to 2011.
Right.
And they like nothing better than to start to spoil seasons, and then they've got Clinton next week to throw a wrench in those plans as well. So,
right.
It's going to be – we'll talk a bunch more about it tomorrow. But since it's Thursday, I thought we'd give a little taste, right? A little taste of the high school football.
Well, I mean, it's a quick week of football. Like you said, it's not Friday. It's tomorrow, so – yeah, I mean, we're making that turn towards the end of the season, and all these games really, really matter for where this is gonna, how this is gonna shake out. But yeah, we'll break down Elk City Weatherford tomorrow. Really break that down and give our thoughts on that one, and maybe a little bit more of a breakdown of other games. I don't know, but I'm excited. We've got 2 weeks of Thursday night games,
back to back,
back to back.
Statewide, biggest game in the state is in Class 5A with undefeated number 2 McAllister hosting undefeated number 3 Coweta.
Man, Coweta got beat so bad last week. But no, not Coweta. I'm sorry. I was thinking of a different – sorry.
I said Coweta's 6-0.
My apologies.
They did not get
I was
beat.
Thinking of a different team. Who was I thinking? Give me a minute.
You're talking about Choctaw against Bixby.
Yes. I got the C's mixed up. Different class, obviously. Yeah. No, Coweta's good.
Looking down, no 4A matchups in this list for the top 10, according to the Oklahoman. Yeah, Bixby, clearly the best team in this state. You wonder where they rank nationally at this point.
I wouldn't even know where to begin to look that one up.
Because they are rolling.
They are very, very good.
Rolling. I think, what was that, 70-7? I guess what was number 2 in their class?
Yeah. Yeah.
Whoa.
I didn't think, when you hear 70 points in a high school game, I think, man, how do you even have that much time to score that many points?
Yeah.
I mean, there had to have been like 3 touchdowns within 90 seconds of game time. You like
right.
Score, interception, return, score. Something like that.
70 is a ton. Don't forget, just a couple of days to make your picks in the Western Oklahoma Realty College Pick'em Contest. Yeah, till 11 o'clock on Saturday morning. Interesting games this week. I looked at it yesterday and just kind of fired through and made my picks. Some interesting ones. Really interesting games, I think, with some bounce-back spots. How do teams handle success of, you know, some big wins last week? Can they continue? So don't forget to make your picks. Western Oklahoma Realty College, pick them. 73 members strong for this season, thanks to Tyler Harrison, Robbie Allen and all the gang at Western Oklahoma Realty. People before property is their motto. They have a new leader this week. It's Andy Peffer, finally not on the top of the leaderboard. It's Jay Sampson, 79. A 67% clip. That's still pretty dang good. I'm just kind of middling down there at 50-50. I need about an 8-2 week to flash up there toward the top. You've started to climb back a little bit. Three straight 50-50s after some struggles early on.
We'll see.
Our man JR, a six and a seven the last 2 weeks. He shot up the leaderboard. A week behind, too. Look out. We talked about that. You'd have a chance to catch up, even though if you showed up late. And JR's done it. He's cleared into the top 30, missing a week. Keep on getting six and seven. Next thing you know, you'll see that name toward the top as well. Even though, you know, 10 points less. So, anyhow, don't forget to make your picks in the Western Oklahoma Realty Pick'em Contest. People before property is the motto down there with Tyler and Robbie and all the gang at Western Oklahoma Realty. We always thank them for hanging out with us again this year during the college Pick'em. All right, Jerry, we hit on the Big 12 title race a little bit yesterday. A game down in Austin is going to be a huge, huge result as to where this thing goes by the time the season is over. Oklahoma State and Oklahoma, the only two teams without a loss in the conference. Sooners 3-0, Cowboys 2-0 after the Pokes had the off week last week. And then it's followed up by 4 1-loss teams, Baylor, Texas, Iowa State, and TCU. Oklahoma State-wise, man, if they can go down to Austin and get this win and have wins over two of what I think are the top five in Baylor and in Texas, that really puts their foot forward in that chase to be down in Dallas the first week of December.
Listen, it's going to be a tough ask because you're going up against a team. Well, let's face it, Texas offense is better. It's better than what it has been in years past. Sarkisian has them moving in the right direction. I think they got the right quarterback. Obviously, they got the right running back. It's going to be a tough ask to go to Austin and win this game. I'm not showing my hand one way or the other what I think would happen. Oklahoma State's defense better travel well because that offense that Texas is going to put on the field is going to be really, really good and hungry with the way that ended last week. Some say, well, if you can catch a team who loses the Red River rivalry, you might catch them at, you know, that might be your advantage. I think it's opposite, man. I think Texas is going to come in showing, listen, we had OU beat and OSU might have to pay for it.
So, yeah, that's the fascinating part of this game to me is what is the mindset of the Texas Longhorns.
Yeah.
Because part of you does think, oh, yeah, they're going to be mad. They're going to be frustrated. They're going to come out with a vengeance.
Now, if this was in Stillwater, or
are they just down and still thinking about that loss? And so basically, does that loss turn into two?
You've seen it happen.
Oh, for sure.
Not just at Texas, everywhere. Big games like that, you've seen that happen.
One huge advantage, I think, for Oklahoma State with the way that their offense has come along, the way that they want to do things, is the run game. Oklahoma, Arkansas have exploited Texas's defense in the run game to the tune of over 300 yards for both of those teams. OSU has become a team that has been able to pound the ball on people. The emergence of Jalen Warren, the improvement of that offensive line, they've really started to be able to control games that way. And I think that's going to be a pretty important part of this because with the deficiencies that it feels like OSU has passing game-wise, I don't know if this is a game where they can fall behind and be able to have the explosiveness to catch up. So I think that OSU is going to want to control things at the line of scrimmage, both offensive and defensively. We saw in the second half last week, OU's defensive line start to take control, limited Bijan Robinson to, 50-something yards in the second half, 35 on one carry. So, you know, they did a way better job in the second half of bottling him up. Texas's offense is better, but their offensive line still stinks. It's not very good. And so can that OSU defense prove against probably definitely the best offense they played so far this season, prove that they really are what the statistics are showing that they are defensively? This is a great chance for that to happen. I think this is a totally like the score will dictate the winner, right? If the winner's in the 20s, I think OSU has a great chance to win this game. If it filters into the 30s or even low 40s, I don't like the Pokes' chances whatsoever. I just don't know if they could keep up in kind of a shootout the way that they've always been able to. It's just such a different – but you know what? We were saying the exact same thing about OU last week, and, you know, they caught lightning in a bottle or maybe made a quarterback change to make the difference and being more explosive. So, you know, Sanders is – it's amazing how inconsistent that guy is, man. He plays a great game and then kind of falls flat. But – the running game has been enough so far to kind of complement him and even take the pressure off him a little bit and not make mistakes. And OSU's been able to win games.
Yeah.
Rank the conferences for me.
SEC 1, I think Georgia's the best team in the country. Alabama, I know they lost, but how many times have we seen that movie? They'll lose and then run off and win the whole dang thing. Big 10 at number 2. Iowa's really good. Penn State's really good. They're an injury away from being the number 2 team in the country, maybe number 3. Big 12, OU has their offense returned back to the way they were now with Caleb Williams. We think we'll be the guy taking snaps from this point on. And then you mentioned OSU, and I still think Texas is a really solid team. Baylor, too. This was hard. Pac-12 at 4. I think Oregon's still a solid squad. But, you know, that one loss glares, and did that take them out of the conversation of college football playoffs? Possibly, unless stuff above them happens. And this one, no one's going to like. I'll go with the AAC at number 5.
I got them 4th.
Over the 8. Okay, so I'm not as crazy as I thought I was going to be labeled.
I was wondering if you were going to pull that trigger as well.
Yes, because of teams, obviously Cincinnati. SMU's a team that's really good. I mean, Houston is 5-1. You know, lost to Texas Tech, but that was first game of the year. I think one team has gotten better and one team has not. You never can count out Central Florida, and you know, that might be a deciding or a line drawn between the really good teams in that conference and not good teams between Cincinnati and UCF. That game coming up this weekend. But listen, nothing about the Atlantic Coast Conference impresses me right now. When your best team is Wake Forest. Come on, man.
So two teams ranked.
Dude, really, if you're putting Wake Forest up against Cincinnati, who are you throwing money down on?
Cincinnati.
Yes. How about NC State versus SMU?
Probably SMU.
That's where I'm going with the AAC.
It highlights.
And one could argue, you know, okay, if we're going that route, Pac-12 versus AAC. Cincinnati versus Oregon.
I've got them 4. I've got the AAC 4. Don't tell me.
I know. I'm not trying to convince you, but
I've already convinced myself of that. Is it sacrilegious to say to put the Big Ten first?
No.
They've got 5 teams in the top 10.
No, based on rankings, no.
5 teams in the top 10.
But I kind of go those 5 versus the SEC's top 5.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? That's
okay.
What I kind of weigh that out.
So let's give the SEC the win with Georgia and the win with Alabama. Against who you gonna? But who are you gonna put them against? The undefeateds? Do they have to go first, or is it by the rankings?
Good question. It's a good question.
Because the rankings show Iowa, Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan, Michigan State, right? But the records would have the two Michigans and Iowa as the top 3. Does anybody really think Ohio State can't beat Alabama? Has anybody watched Ohio State the last couple weeks?
Well, that's why I said it a couple weeks ago, or even last week.
And especially
start paying attention to the Buckeyes.
And what about if you get to push them down further because of the records? So if you went record by record, you'd have Georgia versus Iowa, let's say. That's a Georgia win. I think most people would agree. But
yeah.
Then Kentucky against Michigan State?
That actually would make for a pretty good bowl game.
And then you get Alabama and Michigan. That's a tough break for the Big 12 or the Big 10 there. So Alabama probably wins. But then Ole Miss plays Ohio State, really? Do we really think Ole Miss can beat Ohio State? No.
I don't.
No.
Not after all the points they gave up against.
So then you got Penn
Arkansas.
State playing. Well, we've already seen Penn State beat Auburn. That's about who they'd play. Auburn or Florida? We've already seen them beat Auburn.
Is beating Auburn an impressive win now?
No.
I know we do that every season.
No.
You know, we go back and look, well, it wasn't as impressive as we thought.
No, it's not. You know, I guess you, by the rankings, though, then you got Arkansas and A&M. I mean, listen, A&M's ranked 21st in the country. That is such a joke. It's such a joke. I mean, seriously, it's a joke that they're ranked 21st in the country. But that's the power of Alabama. It's funny because yesterday when
we were talking. Can't you see them going to Missouri on Saturday and losing?
Absolutely. 100%. But, you know, yesterday when we were talking about ranking our teams, I was getting texts from our Ole Miss man that Alabama would be favored over OU. That's true. And you know what? They'd probably be favored over everybody in the country except maybe Georgia. But even then, they might be a favorite over Georgia. So I guess the point is either if that matters, then why make them play? Results don't make any difference.
Right.
Because Alabama's supposed to be the best team. Right. And they've proven to be the best team for a bunch of years. But at some point, you have to win the games.
Yeah, weren't they 18 points favorite?
Yeah. I mean, we had
against A&M?
The same arguments with OU all the time. Well, they lose these games as huge favorites. It's because they're always huge favorites. I mean, Alabama hardly ever loses a game where it's not much of a spread because all their games are huge spreads.
Right.
But at some point, you're going to have to actually win games and not just be Alabama. And if they lose another one, there's no way they're getting in the playoff.
No, not at all.
They're not going – and I know – can't you already hear the wailing with a 10-2 Alabama beating Georgia to win the SEC of them should be in the playoff? Can't you already hear it?
Well, it would start –
so is Georgia
at the very
out?
Top with Nick Saban.
So is Georgia out? They're not going to put
two in. If
that
would be
in.
Their first loss?
Yeah, if they lose to a two-loss Alabama in the SEC title game, what happens? Is the SEC champion held out because Georgia was great all year?
You know who hurts the worst after Alabama lost to A&M? Who hurts the worst?
Who?
Cincinnati.
Oh, for sure. Well, any one-loss conference champion. Big Ten,
it
Big
hurt,
12, it doesn't matter who it is.
It's going to hurt their chances if they go undefeated. It's going to hurt their chances.
We didn't get to, will the playoff actually look different? That right there is the big reason why I don't think it will by the time it's all said and done. Get ready for Georgia, OU, Ohio State, and Bama.
Yep.
Have a great day.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way.